ऋग्दृश्य विवेकान् श्लोक 8. अहङ्कारस्य तादात्म्यं चिच्छाया देहसाक्षिभिः सहजं कर्मजं भ्रान्तिजन्यं च त्रिविधं क्रमात् सम्बन्धिनोऽसतोर्नास्ति निवृत्तिस्सहजस्य तु कर्मक्षयात् प्रबोधाच्च निवर्तेते क्रमाधुभे. अहङ्कारलये सुप्तौ भवेत् देहोऽप्यचेतनः अहङ्कारविकासार्धः स्वप्नः सर्वस्तु जागरः अन्तःकरणवृत्तिश्च चितिश्चायैक्यमागतां वासना कल्पयेत् स्वप्ने बोधेक्षैर्विषयान् बहिः. इस् अप् टु दिस् श्लोक इन् दि लास्ट् क्लास्. लेट् अस् कण्टिन्यू नौ वित् श्लोक 12. मनोहङ्कृत्युपाधानं लिङ्गमेकं जडात्मकम् मनोहङ्कृत्युपाधानं लिङ्गमेकं जडात्मकम् अवस्थात्रयमन्वेति जायते म्रियते तथा. इन् दिस् श्लोक दि आथर् एड्स् एन् इन्सिडेण्टल् इन्फर्मेशन् विच् ईस् रिक्वैर्ड् फार् फर्दर् डेवलप्मेण्ट्. And till now, the mind that has the substantial and the thought portions, if you remember the Dravyamsham and the Vrittiyamsham of the mind, that has been talked about. And this twofold mind is a part of the parent body called the subtle body here, which is the material cause of the mind. So the subtle body is the invisible body behind the visible live physical body. So the subtle body, the Sukshma Shariram, consists of 19 parts, namely the 5 sense organs, Pancha Jnanendriyas, Chakshuhu, that is sight, Shrotram, the hearing, Jihva, the taste, Grahana, the smell, Tvak, the touch. So eyes, ear, touch, nose, skin, and all that. And 5 organs of action, Pancha Karmendriyas, walk, speech, that is, Pani, the grasp, Pada, the walk, Payu, the excretory function, and Upastha, the reproductive organs. Mouth, hands, feet, excretory organs, reproductive organs. And the 5-fold physiological systems, Pancha Pranadayaha, Prana, Apana, Vyana, Udana, and Samana, inhalation, exhalation, circulation, reversal, and assimilation. And 4 inner organs, 4 Antarindriyas, called the Manas, Buddhi, Chitta, and Ahankara, mind, intellect, memory and ego. And manas here means the mind, the dravyamsha, the substantial part, and the thatamsa, the vrityamsha. So all these together is one unit called the subtle body. So it can also be said that the subtle body has 3 states of experience, the jagrat, swapna, and sushupti. And previously we said that the 3 states of experience belong to the mind. And here it is said that the 3 states of experience belong to the subtle body. The mind, the thought part, has a parent body, which is called the subtle body. And it is one unit and inert by itself, but becomes sentient because of the reflected consciousness. All this we know, I'm just only paraphrasing. So this subtle body alone goes through the 3 states of experience. And the author adds another important information in this shloka. At the time of death, what happens? The physical body alone is destroyed. The subtle body survives. Previously, it was said that the consciousness, the sakshi, that continues to survive even after the fall of the body. But here it is said that subtle body also survives the death of the physical body. So after introducing the 3-fold seers, namely the sense organs, seer number 1, mind, seer number 2, and the Sakshi Chaitanyam, which is seer number 3, which are all integral part of an individual, the author talked about the formation and function of all these 3 seers, the sense organs, mind, and the Sakshi. And Sakshi, by its mere presence, blesses the mind with Chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness, and the mind with Chidabhasa becomes the seer, blessing the sense organs. Thereafter, the mind, the seer alone, goes through the three states of experience. A fully passive mind experiences deep sleep. A partially active passive mind experiences dream. And the fully active sense organs join the mind. They do not stay as separate seers. The mind and the sense organs together experience the waking state. We know all this. I'm just paraphrasing for the sake of our continuity. Then the author said that when one talks about the mind, one should remember both parts of the mind, the substantial part, the dravyamsham, and the thought part, the vrittyamsham. So both of them receive chidabhasa and together go through the three states of experience. So what we call life is nothing but the mind constantly going through one state of experience or the other. In one state, the mind experiences the external world. And in another state, the mind experiences the internal world. And in between these two experiences, there is temporary rest for the mind. The author then adds a point here in the 12th verse, the shloka that we just read. Not only the mind goes through these three states of experience, the very same mind goes to the next birth also. The very same mind goes to the next birth also. This mind is a part of the bigger parent body called the subtle body with 19 components, which enlivens the gross body. The subtle body has 19 parts, as we said, and the mind happens to be one of the important components of the subtle body. And the subtle body, along with the mind, at the time of death, leaves the physical body and takes another physical body and goes through the states of experiences, three states. So thus the seer number one, the sense organs, and the seer number two, the mind, in the form of the subtle body, travel from body to body after death. So the seer number three, the sakshi, does not travel. It need not travel and cannot travel, because Sakshi is all-pervading and available all over. So when I say need not travel, we should understand what do we mean. What is really travel? Travel is from a place you are to a place you are not. Whereas the Sakshi Chaitanyam is all-pervading. It is there everywhere. There is no need for the Sakshi Chaitanyam to travel anywhere. So when it is said the Jivatma travels from one loka to another, travel refers to what? The CS1 and the two components, namely sense organs and mind only. They mind the ego part, the Jivatma, and not the Sakshi, the Chaitanya. This is referred actually in the Bhagavad Gita also. Na jayate mriyate vakadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhoyaha ajo nityaha shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. The self is never born, na jayate. Nor does it die, mriyate, na mriyate. It is not that having been, it ceases to exist again. It's unborn. It is never born, ajo nityaha shashvatoyam. It is eternal. It undergoes no change whatsoever. And is ever new. Puranaha, purapi, navaha. And is ever new. When the body is destroyed, na hanyate, hanyamane. Hanyamane sharire, when the body is destroyed also, the self is not destroyed, nahanyate. So Vedanta is nothing but shifting from seer one and seer two and claiming oneself to be seer number three, the Sakshi Chaitanya. Until that shift takes place, cycles of birth and death will continue. The mind sense organs bundle, called the subtle body, goes through the three states of experience when the individual is alive. And after death, it leaves and takes another birth. Death is the dissociation of the subtle body from the physical body. Physical body dies, it is cremated, it is buried, whatever it is. And birth is the association of the subtle body with the physical body in the next birth. So the Sakshi, the Chaitanyam, never leaves or goes anywhere, just like space not vacating the house when the occupants of the house vacate the house. Space is always there in the house when the tenants leave. So the cycle of birth and death that has been going on from beginningless time and will go on endlessly unless the individual gets jnanam. Now let us see the words. Manohankriti padanam, lingam ekam jadatmakam, avastatrayam anveti, jayate, mriyate, tatha. Manaha ahankriti upadanam. Upadanam is the material cause. So the material cause of mind and ego, ahankriti refers to ego. Ekam, that is only one. Jadatmakam, of the nature of insentience, this mind and all that. Lingam means subtle. The subtle body is referring to that. Avastatrayam. Avastatrayam, the three states, anveti, it attains. Tata, similarly, jayate, mriyate, it is born and it dies also. So the subtle body, which is the material cause of the mind and the ego, is one and of the nature of insentiency by itself. It moves in the three states and is born and dies, all blessed by Chaitanya. So with this shloka, the author concludes the discussion of the formation and function of the three seers. What are the three seers? Sense organs, seer number one, mind number two, with both aspects, and then the Chaitanyam, the Sakshi. So hereafter, the author, he gets into the main topic of this text, Drigdrishya Viveka, namely the cause of samsara and its remedy. Let us go to shloka number 13. Shakti dvayam hi mayaya vikshepavriti rupakam vikshepa shakti lingadi brahmandandam jagat srijet. So from shloka 13 to 21, as I mentioned earlier, analysis of the cause of samsara and its remedy that is going to be done. And the author wishes to establish that ignorance is the cause of samsara, mula avidya, self-ignorance of one's own composition, which is a mixture of three seers. Now we already defined an individual. He is a mixture of three seers. One seer is the sense organs, second one is manaha, third one is chaitanya. So two of them are mithya and only one is satyam. Satya sakshi is one's own real nature. And the self-ignorance is the cause of the samsara problem. And who or what is responsible for this ignorance, the self-ignorance? The author points out that Maya is responsible. Once the topic of Maya comes, people who have attended all the other Vedanta lectures, they know, once the topic of Maya comes, topic of Ishvara and topic of creation, they automatically come into the picture. Therefore, the topic of creation is briefly presented so that Maya can be introduced. Then Maya leading to ignorance and ignorance causing the samsara problem, they all can be discussed later. So creation, Maya, ignorance, samsara, that is how the order of analysis is going to be. And since the presentation of this analysis in the text is very brief, we will give a preamble, a general introduction to this topic. Because for many people, they might have forgotten perhaps, for some of them it may be new. Now, what is creation? When we talk about creation, what is creation? Creation can be defined as the production of an effect or a product from a cause. When an effect is produced out of a cause, what happens exactly? What is the mechanism? The words cause and effect, all of them are normally used very loosely here. For example, if we take the example of a potter who makes varieties of earthenware pots, like pot, jug, so many things he makes. Out of a lump of clay, clay is said to be the cause, the material cause, and the varieties of earthenware are supposed to be the effect. And we say that the potter has produced, or has created, or made many pots. That is what we normally use in our practical usage. The author asks the question, when one says the potter created the earthenware, what has the potter really created? That's the question. On inquiry, we find that the potter has not produced or created anything at all. In fact, nobody can create anything. Matter can never be created or destroyed, fundamental. Thus, the potter has not produced even an iota of matter. He has not produced any substance at all. Previously, there was clay, and now also there is only clay. Then why do we say that the potter created a pot? Then we come to know that the meaning of the word creation is nothing but adding a shape to the already existing clay. The potter cannot and does not produce anything, and all his efforts are to add a shape to the wet clay. So before shaping, there was only clay, and after shaping also, there is only clay, the substance. So before the shaping, it is called clay. And when the shapes are given, the very same clay is given a new name, a pot. What has the potter really done then? He has not produced anything. He has given a rupam, a shape, a form. And in keeping with the shape, a new nama, a name also has been given. Either pot or jug or plate or lid, whatever it is, he made. So addition of varieties of nama rupa, names and forms, that is called creation, not production of substance. This should be very clear. Addition of configuration to a substance only is called creation, not generation of a new substance. Cause plus addition of nama rupa is creation. Clay, the cause, plus nama rupa, pot and all that things, that is equal to earth and ware. Gold plus nama rupa is equal to ornaments. Wood plus nama rupa is equal to furniture. So cause plus addition of nama rupa is called production of an effect. This is lesson number one. Now let us go to the second lesson. It was said that the potter does not produce anything, but he gives only shape. That's what we said. Then the next question will be, from where does the shape come from? Where does the potter bring the shape from for the pot? The shape is not added by potter also. All shapes are already present in clay itself. This is going to be a big surprise. All shapes are already present in the clay itself. The spherical clay has got all the geometrical shapes in potential form, underlying potential. The spherical clay, the lump of clay, which is like a sphere, which he has made, has got all the geometrical shapes in potential form. Spherical shape is nothing but all the shapes in unmanifest form. Once the shapes manifest, they get different names. So in unmanifest potential form, it is a spherical shape, a lump of clay. So clay contains all the names and forms of earth and ware in potential condition. This is called avyakta nama rupa. Vyakta means manifested, avyaktam unmanifested. So the potter does not do anything to the substance clay, but only brings the unmanifest nama rupa into manifestation. Nothing is produced, including the nama rupa. Substance plus unmanifest nama rupa is called the cause. Substance plus unmanifest nama rupa, understand clearly. Unmanifest nama rupa is called the shape, and the same substance, when shaped by the potter, the same substance plus the manifest nama rupa is called the effect, the pot and all that. So what is the benefit of the efforts of the potter then? He has neither created the clay, nor has he created nama rupa. Nama rupa was an unmanifest condition. He has only changed the unmanifest nama rupa into manifest nama rupa by giving form and name. So this nama rupa transformation is called creation. So in creation, nothing is newly created. Creation is only transformation of nama rupa. Creation is the manifestation of nama rupa upon the substance, which substance remains the same before and after the manifestation. This is lesson number two. So what about the creation of the universe then? This is a part. Part is fine, but universe is part. Looks very plural. So many things are there. The universe must also be a basic substance only with the manifest nama rupa. In that thing, this is a universe. If the universe is a created substance, universe is also a basic substance, whatever the substance we are going to call it, Chaitanyam, with the manifest nama rupa, the universe, as we see. If the universe is created, is a created substance, a product or an effect it must also be a substance with manifest nama rupa. This argument that we just now gave, same thing is extended here. So before the production of the universe, before the production of the universe, the basic substance must have existed with unmanifest nama rupa. Be clear. Basic substance existed in both the cases, but before production, it is unmanifest nama rupa. After production, it is manifest nama rupa. Universe in current condition, as we see, is one basic substance with infinite nama rupas. Nothing can be created by anyone, including God. God has not created the world. Gaudapada establishes this principle in Mandukya Karika. We have seen it in detail. I don't want to go into that discussion now. Therefore, you can always refer to my lectures in the website. Therefore, the basic substance must have been present with the unmanifest nama rupa. And what is that basic substance now? The mula vastu. What is the truth of this universe? Vedanta calls the basic substance as Brahman. Vedanta calls Chaitanyam the Brahman. Just as clay is the basic substance from the standpoint of earthenware, from the standpoint of the whole creation, including the five elements, time, space, and all of them, the basic substance is Brahman. And what is the nature of that substance? It is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is pure existence, and Chit is pure consciousness, and which is limitless. Ananda means Ananta. It is limitless, infinite. So limitless existence consciousness is the basic substance which was present before creation and is present after creation also. Now we have the basic substance which is Satchidananda with varieties of manifest nama rupa, the so-called universe. So actually in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in chapter 6, the first Brahmanam, it says that everything in this world may be classified into names and forms and actions. Nama, Rupa, and Karma, the full Brahman, the outside chapter 6, first Brahman. Again, please refer to those lectures. I am not quoting all those things here because the entire Brahman I have to teach them. The manifest Nama Rupa has appropriate function. In fact, that's Karma. So in fact, the Nama is given to refer to whatever the function of the Rupa is. You know, how do we relate all of them? In fact, the nama, a name, is given to refer to whatever the function of the rupa is, the shape is. So what is the universe? It is Brahman plus manifest nama, rupa, and karma. Before creation, Brahman must have been present. With what? With unmanifest nama, rupas. Brahman plus unmanifest nama, rupa is the cause, and Brahman plus the manifest nama, rupa is the effect. So the technical name for the unmanifest nama rupa, which is located upon Brahman, is called Maya. Technical name for the unmanifest nama rupa and karma, which is located in Brahman, is called Maya. Brahman plus the unmanifest nama rupa Maya is the cause, and Brahman plus the manifest nama rupa Maya is the effect. To differentiate Brahman plus the unmanifest nama rupa, the cause, and the Brahman plus the manifest nama rupa, the effect, two distinct names are given. Brahman plus the unmanifest nama rupa Maya is called Ishwara. Brahman plus Maya is Ishwara, unmanifest Maya is Ishwara. And Brahman plus the manifest nama rupa is called Jagat, the universe. So now, universe and Jagat, universe and also Ishwara, they are very easily understood now. Brahman plus the unmanifest nama rupa Maya is called Ishwara. Brahman plus the manifest nama rupa Maya is called Jagat, the universe. So Brahman continues to be present all the time without having any transformation at any time at all. During Srishti, during Sthiti, and even Pralaya, Brahman is Brahman. The substance Brahman continues to be the same always. The Nama Rupa that is upon that Brahman goes through the unmanifest and manifest conditions. Conversion of unmanifest Nama Rupa into manifest Nama Rupa is called creation. Conversion of manifest Nama Rupa into unmanifest Nama Rupa is called dissolution, pralayam, and all that. So this process goes on and on and on and on. So Krishna describes this process in the Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter. Avyakta avyaktaya sarvaha prabhavantyaha ragame ratriyagame praliyante tatraiva avyakta samyake. At the beginning of the day, all things that are manifest, they arise from the unmanifest. Agaragame. At the beginning of the night, ratriyagame, they resolve in that alone which is called the unmanifest. There is only Brahman. In one condition, it is called Ishvara, and in another condition, it is called Jagat. The other says that this Maya, which is nothing but the manifest Namarupa and located in Brahman, is also the unmanifest Namarupa located in Brahman, is also known by the name Brahma Shakti. Shakti refers to Maya. This Maya is known by the name Shakti, Shiva and Shakti. Any Shakti or power cannot exist independently. Any Shakti or power cannot exist independently. It has to exist in some substance only. For example, speaking power cannot exist separately from the person that has the power to speak. Maya Shakti rests in Brahman, depending on Brahman for its very existence. This Maya Shakti has two powers. One is called Vikshepa Shakti, the power to manifest, the power that converts the unmanifest to the manifest condition. Vikshepa means throwing out, projecting. So the manifestation of the universe is in the hands of the Vikshepa Shakti Amsha of Maya, which rests in Brahman. The second power is called Avarana Shakti, the power of covering or veiling the Satyam, the truth. First, the Vikshepa Shakti of Ishvara starts functioning at the time of creation. Ishvara is not affected by the Avarana Shakti of Maya. When Vikshepa Shakti is operating, all the unmanifest Namarupa gets manifested. All the universes, that is all the five elements, all the 14 lokas, the gross bodies, the subtle bodies, which are all non-substantial, Namarupa, they all come to manifestation. There is only one substance behind all the Namarupa, and that original substance, which is the only substance behind the non-substantial Namarupa, that is called Brahman. I am saying the same thing in so many words, in so many ways, so that our understanding will be clear. So Vikshepa Shakti will operate until creation of individual Jiva consisting of all the three seers, sense organs, manas, and the Chaitanya. It will operate until then. When the Jiva uses the word I to refer to himself or herself, it does not refer to any single seer, because these three seers are inseparably together in an individual. In every individual, all these three seers, sense organ seer one, mind seer two, with the two aspects, Dravyamsham and Vrityamsham, and also Chaitanyam, all three together. They are inseparably together in an individual. If Sakshi alone is present, it can never say I. If Chaitanyam alone is present, can it say I? Cannot. Sakshi cannot say I because it does not have a mind to think and it does not have a mouth to speak. Sakshi is Chaitanyam. Mind by itself cannot say I also, because sense organs are required to utter the word. Mind cannot say I am, it's I. So the mouth by itself cannot say I, because the mouth has to be backed by the mind and Sakshi. So the one that says I is now a mixture of all the three seers, the mouth, the mind, and the Sakshi, seer one, two, and three. So the composite entity of seer one plus seer two plus seer three, that only says the word I. So how should I understand now? I should understand that I am a composite entity consisting of three seers, seer one, two, and three, sense organs, mind, and Sakshi. And of these three, seer one and seer two are the products of what? Maya. Because the Vikshepa Shakti produced the sense organs and the mind. When I say I should be aware that the mouth, that is seer one, the sense organ, that says the word I, and the mind, seer two, that is the thought corresponding to that word, are non-tangible Namarupa, produced by Maya and therefore come under the Mithya category. So CS1 and 2, they come under Mithya category. So I have a Mithya component, two of them. Actually, Shankaracharya calls this this Anritamsha, Ritam and Anritam, the unreal part in his Adhyasa Bhashyam, which we already saw in the Brahma Sutras, introduction to Vasudhyaya, we saw that. So CS3, the Sakshi, is not Namarupa product born out of Maya's Vikshepa Shakti or Maya, but it is Brahman itself. So CS3 Sakshi is not a product of anything. That CS3 is the Satyamsha, the real part of myself. So thus I am a mixture of real and unreal parts, Maya parts, unreal. We call it unreal. It's not quite unreal. It enjoys a lower order of reality. I'll talk about those things later. So does the real part say I or the unreal part say I now? Which part says I? Who says Aham Brahmasmi? Who says the I there? The unreal part can never say by itself because it cannot exist by itself. The unreal part means the sense organs, mind and all. They cannot exist by themselves. Exist. The real part can exist by itself, but the real part cannot think or speak, and so Sakshi by itself cannot say also Aham Brahmasmi. So Brahman cannot say Aham Brahmasmi. The sense organs and mind also cannot say Aham Brahmasmi. So the one says I, who is that? Is the mixture of the real and unreal parts. What should be understood is what? I have two parts. One is the Mithya part. The Mithya part is useful for transactions. It has empirical reality. Since the Mithya part is unreal, I should not claim it as the real I. I have a higher level. When you say unreal, it doesn't enjoy the same order of reality as Satyavastu. It enjoys only a lower order of reality. So I have a higher real, higher order of reality, the I part, the Chaitanyam, which transcends all transactions as defined in the mantra 7 of Mandukya Upanishad, a very often quoted mantra. I like this mantra very much. I also try to quote it as often as possible wherever I have a chance. Nanta pragyam, na bahish pragyam, no bayata pragyam, na pragyanaganam, na pragyam, na pragyam, adrishtam, avyavaharyam, agrahyam, alakshanam, achintyam, avyapateshyam, ekatma pratyayasaram, prapanchopashamam, shantam, shivam, advaitam, chaturtam manyante, sa atma, sa vigyayaha. That real I is nothing other than the Satya Brahma Amsha. That is the only Satya Vatsu that is of the highest order of reality. If I know this truth, that I have these two components, a Mithya part subject to arrival and departure, namely the sense organs and mind, and a real part which is eternal, I will have no samsara. So if I know the truth that I am a mixture of all these three components, of these three, two components are Mithya part, subject to arrival and departure, and a real part which is eternal, I will have no samsara. So that right knowledge will allow me to accept all the temporary conditions of the Mithya part and not be affected by them. And thus, I will not have samsara. I will not get affected by the Mithya components of me. And here the author says that the individual does not know his composition, that he is a mixture of Satyam and Mithya. Further, individual does not know also which is Satyam and which is Mithya, and expects immortality out of the mortal body, the physical body. Thus, there is a lot of confusion because of the ignorance regarding the Satya and the Anrita. Anrita means Asatya. We don't want to use the word Asatya. Anrita composition of the individual. And why does the individual not know this? This ignorance is due to the other power. We first said two powers, Vikshepa Shakti, and another power is called Avarana Shakti. And because of this power, this ignorance is due to that power of Maya. After the jivas are created, the Avarana Shakti starts operating. Since the jivas are created, it's all Vikshepa Shakti. And after the jivas are created, the Avarana Shakti takes over. It starts operating and covers the jiva with the concealing power. There is no concealment for Ishvara at the macro level. Avarana Shakti operates only at the Jiva level, not at the macro level at the Ishvara. Instead of claiming the real I, the Sakshi, the individual, claims the unreal mind and sense organs and mistakes himself or herself to be those and takes that identity as real and expects perfection at that level, which is impossible. So karma controls that level and the individual can never be the master. As seer one and seer two, the sense organs and mind, the individual can never be a master, but be only a slave of what? Prarabdha karma. As long as the individual takes himself to be the mithya part, he will have problems. Seer one and seer two can never be saved from karma at all. The body can never be saved from karma in any birth. Instead of trying to rescue seer one and seer two, what one should do? One should disidentify from them. Don't try to rescue them. Disidentify from them. Do not claim them as the real I, but elevate oneself to the level of seer three. Claim ownership of seer number three. Actually, Shankaracharya refers to this in his Nirvana Shatkam or Atma Shatkam. Mano buddhya hankara chittani naham, nacha shrotra jihve, nacha ghrana netre, nacha vyoma bhumihi, na tejo na vayuho, chidananda rupaha, shivoham, shivoham. I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, I am not the ahankara ego, or the memory chitta. I am not the senses of hearing, shrotra jihve, taste, smell, nacha ghrana netre, sight and smell and sight. I am not space, nacha vyoma bhumihi, not earth. Tejo na vayuho, nor fire and wind. Who am I? I am the form of limitless consciousness. Chidananda rupa, chitananda rupa. As I told you, ananda is ananta, limitless consciousness. I am the eternal Shiva. It is not Lord Shiva. The Shiva is the Brahman. So this is called jnanam. Ajnanam and the consequent mix-up is the cause of samsara. Ajnanam and the consequent mix-up of what? The mithya part and the real part. Jnanam and the subsequent elevation is called moksha. Between samsara and now moksha. Ajnanam, because the consequent mix-up. That is the cause of samsara. And jnanam and the subsequent elevation is called moksha. So this is the topic from Shloka 13 to Shloka 21. All these ideas are going to be stitched together in various forms in all these shlokas that we will see. So in this shloka, the author says that there is a principle called Maya, which is located in Brahman. Unmanifest Nama Rupa is Maya and it is unreal. It is unreal means it doesn't enjoy the same order of reality as the Satya Vastu. Pure existence and consciousness is Brahman. Existence, consciousness. Existence refers to Satyam. Consciousness refers to Chit. And the limitation, unlimited. That is Ananta, Ananta or Ananda. And that Brahman alone is real. So this unreal Nama Rupa Maya has twofold powers, as we said. The projecting power called Vikshepa Shakti and the veiling power called the Avarana Shakti. At the time of creation, at the level of Ishvara, only the projecting level alone operates and projects the universe. Projecting power alone operates and projects the universe consisting of individuals and the entire cosmic system. Then at the individual level, the concealing power of Maya operates and covers the truth about the creation and oneself from the individual. So once the Jivas and Jagat come into manifestation, Avarana Shakti of Maya becomes active. Once the Jivas and the Jagat, they come into manifestation, the Avarana Shakti, the concealing power of Maya, that becomes active. And because of that, every Jiva is ignorant of the basic truth. That is the concealing power. The Avarana Shakti conceals that the reality, that every Jiva, it doesn't understand. He is the ultimate Chaitanya. So everything is Brahman plus Nama Rupa, and that the Jiva is also Brahman plus Nama Rupa, he forgets to understand that he becomes ignorant of that because of the Avarana Shakti of Maya, the concealing power. This is called Ajnanam, and the Avarana Shakti of Maya is called Ajnanam. So this self-ignorance leads to the fear of mortality. Fear of mortality is samsara. So self-knowledge is the solution for the samsara, and this self-ignorance is the fear of mortality, samsara. Self-knowledge is the solution for samsara, and this is very similar to the dream of an individual. The Vikshepa Shakti and Avarana Shakti we can directly understand from the dream. In dream, the individual's Nidra Shakti operates, the sleeping power. So Nidra Shakti also has the two parts, powers. Nidra Shakti is like Maya. It has two powers. The projecting power projects the dream out of the individual's vasanas. And the veiling power conceals the truth of the dream from the dreaming in the dreaming individual. When the individual is dreaming, it conceals that he is in dream. He is in a dream world. If you look at the sloka now, Shakti Dvayam Hi Mayaya. Vikshepa Avrati Rupakam. Avrati Rupakam. Vikshepa Shakti Lingadihi. Brahmandantam Jagat Srijet. So Shakti Dvayam Mayaya Hi Asti. Two powers, Shakti Dvayam, of Maya, without doubt, exist. And what are they? Vikshepa Avritti Rupakam, of the nature of projecting and veiling. Vikshepa Shakti Srijet, the projecting power creates. Creates what? Lingadi Brahmandantam Jagat. Everything from the subtle body lingam to the gross universe it generates. Like example, the same thing like in a dream where you project the entire dream universe in the dream. You do all dream transactions in the dream. And again, when you wake up, only everything vanishes. So all these things, they happen. We are able to project. And in the dream, we are covered by the fact that we are in dream world. Shloka 14. Srishtir nama bahu rupe sachidananda vastuni. Abdau Penadivat Sarva Naparupa Prasarana. So in the previous shloka, it was said that the Vikshepa Shakti, the projecting power, creates the world, and the author gives more details in this shloka. The creation is nothing but the manifesting of Namarupa and not a production of even one iota of matter. We already said. Nobody, including God, can create matter. Matter cannot be created or destroyed is a universal law. And even God cannot violate that. Then how God created all these? God did not create. Nothing is created. Even the Namarupa existed in potential form, as we said earlier. Only the manifestation of Namarupa is done by the Vikshepa Shakti, the projecting power of Maya. It is like the bubbles, waves, and the froth in the ocean. These are not substances, but only forms. The wind causes the manifestation of these forms in the ocean. If the creation is only Namarupa, that Namarupa requires a substance on which it is present, and that substance is Brahman. The creation, Namarupa, is resting on only one substance, which is called the Brahman. And what is the nature of that Brahman? Brahman is independently existing and the Namarupa is dependently existing. These are all things we know. All people who have been attending classes, they know. For new people, for the sake of them, I'm saying this just only the facts. Brahman is independently existing and the Namarupa is dependently existing. The desk, for example, desk name and rupa form, desk Namarupa, depends on wood for its existence. Wood can exist independent of the desk, whereas the desk depends on wood for its existence. Similarly, Namarupa depends on Brahman for its existence, but Brahman does not depend on Namarupa for its existence. So Namarupa is Mithya and Brahman is Satyam. So Mithya has dependent existence, Satyam doesn't. Brahman's nature is Satchidananda, as I said. Sat means existence, Chit means consciousness, and Ananda means Ananta, which also said earlier. The meaning is limitless. So the translation of Ananda as happiness is not correct, because happiness is an emotion that comes only after minds are created, but Brahman is prior to mind itself. So limitless existence consciousness is Brahman. So Satchidananda, that is how we should understand. Existence, consciousness, and it is unlimited, infinite. So this limitless implies the following. What are the limitless, by that, what are the things we mean? Pure existence, consciousness is not a part, product, or property of matter. This we have told many times. At that time also I mentioned that we will be saying this many times during these sessions also. Whenever we talk about Atma, Chaitanyam and all these things will come. Pure existence, consciousness is not, that is Sat and Chit, is not a part, product or property of matter. It exists independent of matter. It pervades and enlivens matter. It continues to survive even after the disintegration of matter. Even if you destroy something, Chaitanyam continues. And the pure existence consciousness without matter does exist, but not available for transaction. That is the only difference. Pure existence consciousness, Chaitanyam, without matter does exist, but not available for transaction. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So pure consciousness cannot even say, I am pure consciousness. Look at all these bombshells. Pure cannot consciousness cannot even say, I am pure consciousness, I am Chaitanyam. Because that statement is a transaction. The moment I say, I am pure consciousness, that statement itself is a transaction. Transaction comes only when Namarupa is present. So there is no Namarupa at all here. So what would the pure existence consciousness be like? We all know that already. Whatever Vedanta teaches, we have already experienced it every day. There is nothing mystical about Vedanta at all. Only people import mysticism into Vedanta, Swami says. Non-transacting pure existence consciousness is experienced in the deep sleep state every day. Non-transacting pure existence consciousness is experienced in the deep sleep state, Sushupti. In the deep sleep state, all Namarupas are dissolved and we exist as existence consciousness only. In that stage, we exist without claiming our existence. And we are conscious, consciousness, without knowing that we are consciousness. That is pure Satchit Atma. That is called pure Satchit Atma. We exist without claiming our existence. And we are consciousness without knowing that we are consciousness. Called Satchit Atma. This is the condition at that dissolution of the creation also. So every day we have a temporary dissolution during our deep sleep. And we have a creation again when we wake up. The same condition is at the dissolution of the entire creation also and Srishti again, manifestation again. So upon the Satchit Brahman, all the names and forms are projected. And that is called the waking and dream states of Ishvara. So we dream, sleep state, we call it dream, the state of the Jiva. Here, the entire thing is called this waking and dream states of Ishvara. So the dissolution of the universe is the deep sleep state of Ishvara. And the creation of the universe is the waking and dream states of Ishvara. Thus, we have all come in Ishvara's dream. Now let us see the sloka here. Srishtir nama bahu brahma rupe sachidananda vastuni abdav penadibat sarva nama rupa prasarana. So sarva nama rupa prasarana, the manifesting of all names and forms, sarva nama rupa. Sachidananda vastuni, in the entity which is the existence consciousness, the Satchidananda, existence consciousness and ananda, the unlimited. And brahma rupe, which is the same as Brahman, abdav penadivate, like foam and other things in the ocean, waves and foam and all that. Srishtir nama is known as creation. So the manifesting of all names and forms in the entity which is the existence, consciousness and bliss, Satchidananda, and which is the same as Brahman, like the foams, etc. in the ocean, is known as creation. That is a simple statement this particular shloka conveys. So who is the Brahman or Ishvara now? We are that Ishvara. But we do not know it due to Maya's veiling power, the Avarana Shakti of Maya. And that is discussed in the next shloka, shloka number 15. Let us go to shloka number 15. అంతర్దృగ్దృశ్యయోర్భేదం బహిశ్చ బ్రహ్మ సర్గయోః ఆవృణోత్యపరా శక్తి సా సంసారస్య కారణం. సో యాస్ వి సెడ్ ఎర్లియర్ ఇన్ దీస్ శ్లోకాస్ బిగినింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ 13-21, ది ఆథర్ ఇస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ది కాస్ ఆఫ్ సంసార అండ్ ఆల్సో ద రెమెడీ ఫర్ సంసార. యాజ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ డిస్కషన్ హీ ఇంట్రొడ్యూస్డ్ ఆవరణ శక్తి అండ్ విక్షేప శక్తి ఆఫ్ మాయా. And Vikshepa Shakti is responsible for the creation of this world. And Avarana Shakti is responsible for covering the difference between Satyam and Mithya. So this covering takes place at two places. So Satya-Mithya mixture is present at individual level and the external level also, world level also. So Satya-Mixture, Satya-Vastu and Mithya that exists in the individual level and also at the external world level also. And because of this avarna shakti, the individual is unable to differentiate satyam from mithya. Because of this avarna shakti, the individual is unable to differentiate satyam from mithya. Avarana Shakti starts operating only after the arrival of the individual and not at the start of creation. These are all basic facts we have to know. At the time of creation, only Vikshepa Shakti. To understand this, our own dream is a good example, as I mentioned. Dream has two powers, the Vikshepa Shakti and Avarana Shakti. When we go to sleep, Vikshepa Shakti takes over and an internal world of dream is generated. And once the waker, when going to sleep, enters the dream world as the dream individual, operating the dream body and experiencing the dream universe. And the Avarana Shakti starts operating and the dream individual does not know the dream as dream and the dream becomes a problem. So if the Avarana Shakti was not operating, the dreamer will have total knowledge and control of the dream, enjoy it also, and end the dream at will by waking up. Similarly, for the waker individual also, the Avarana Shakti covers the truth regarding what is Satyam and what is Mithya and is the cause of samsara. And what does the Avarana Shakti cover here? The Avarana Shakti covers the distinction between the mind and the Sakshi Chaitanyam at the internal individual level. The mind is the unreal part projected by Maya, subject to arrival and departure. The Sakshi Chaitanyam is Satyam, which always remains at the substratum. I, the Sakshi, am Satyam, and the mind is a Mithya Vastu. But I am not able to know the following differences, and therefore I mistake. I am going to say all those differences, and that is why I mistake myself to be the mind. And what are those differences? I am the observer and the mind is the observed. I am not able to know these differences. I am the observer. I am the Chaitanyam. Mind is observed. I am the consciousness principle and the mind is inert principle. I am Satyam. The mind is Mithya. It is Maya's projection. Thus, there are so many. I am free from modifications and the mind is subject to modifications. So there are so many differences between the Sakshi Chaitanyam and the mind, but I do not notice these differences because of the Avarana Shakti of Maya. So the very same Avarana Shakti causes confusion at the external level also. Externally, the Avarana Shakti covers the distinction between Brahman, the cause, and the Jagat, the effect. The differences between the cause and the effect are what? What are those? Cause is the only substance, namely Brahman, is the only substance, and the effect is non-substantial Namarupa. The whole Jagat is non-substantial Namarupa. Cause exists in all three periods of time, and the effect is impermanent, subject to arrival and departure. Cause is Satyam, and the effect is Mithya. And this cause-effect difference is also not noticed by the individual about the Jagat and the Brahman. So, Brahman world distinction is not known also. not knowing the differences at the two levels, at the individual level and at the world level, that is the cause of samsara. We expect eternity from the non-eternal. That is the mistake we are all committing. We expect the eternity from the non-eternal. The effect, the world, is non-eternal and it cannot give me security at all. Brahman alone can give security. But not knowing that fact, we make a blunder in depending on the world for security. We expect support from people, support from objects, support from situations. And all the suffering is because of expecting security from the insecure world. And this is samsara. And the author is going to explain this hereafter. Now let us look at this sloka. Antar drik drishyayor bhedam bahischa brahma sargayoho avrunotya parashaktihi sa samsarasya karana. Here the veiling power of maya is described here. Aparashaktihi, the other power, the maya. Antaha means within. Avrunoti, it conceals. The other power of maya, namely the avarashakti, within the maya, it conceals. What it conceals? Drik drishyayoho bedam. The distinction between the seer, drik, or the perceiver, and the seen, the perceived objects, drishyam, which are cognized. Antaha bahihi cha, within and outside. Brahma sargayoho bedam. The distinction between Brahman, and sargayoho means the created universe, sarga, which is perceived outside one's own body. Sa samsarasya karanam bhavati. So this power is the cause of the phenomenal universe. So that is the other power, namely maya. It conceals the distinction between the perceiver and the perceived objects, which are cognized within the body, as well as the distinction between Brahman and the phenomenal universe, which is perceived outside one's own body. So the power is the cause of the phenomenal universe. So just only to make these points clear about Vikshepa Shakti and this thing, due to Vikshepa Shakti, the universe and I, the Jiva, have manifested, the projected. The universe is a mixture of Brahman and Namarupa. The world is Satyam plus Mithya, and I also am a mixture of Satyam plus Mithya. The body and mind are Mithya, and Sakshi is a Satyam, Satya Vastu Chaitanya. However, the Jiva does not have the Satya Anrita Viveka. Satyam and Mithya Viveka doesn't have due to Avarana Shakti. The other power of Maya, the Avarana Shakti, covers the distinction between the Satyam part and the Mithya part. So this covering is the cause of samsara. Not knowing Mithya from Satyam, what do? The Jiva takes Mithya to be real and leans on it for security and experiences sorrow when unwanted things come and wanted things go. So this is the story of every individual in every day-to-day life, as long as they are ajnanis, overpowered by ignorance. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.